97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. We got a lot to talk about with Jay Hill. He'll be available here in just a few moments. A couple news and notes from the world of the NCAA. The one free transfer appears to be on its way to happening. Just has, I think, one more hurdle to pass, but it's all but done at this point, where essentially free agency is about to begin in earnest in collegiate sports. And I think it's set to take place in, I want to say, August 21st, somewhere around there, that that a player can now transfer one time, can be immediately eligible, and be good to go.
So what does that mean for guys like Jay Hill?
I know.
Because that's any four-year college?
That's what I'm excited. That's why I'm excited to talk to Jay about, and what does that mean at the FCS level?
He's probably not going to be excited to talk about it, but we're excited to talk to him about it.
Yeah,
because it hurts the Big Sky.
It certainly does. I mean, it hurts the Big Sky. It hurts your G5 schools. A kid who you groom, you spend countless hours recruiting, and then once he gets on your campus, you spend countless hours in his development and his progression, and he ends up excelling, and you hit on him, and he's great. And then all of a sudden, Alabama calls him up and says, hey, you want to come and play for us? And the kid's like, well, geez, I can't turn that down. And off he goes and is immediately eligible.
I'm just looking at – I think that there would be four or five guys, well, probably four guys off this Weber State roster that would start – at a Power 5, potentially a Power 5 school, definitely a Group of 5 school.
Yeah.
And some of the best. I think Josh Davis, obviously. I think Jared Scheiss, who's the defensive tackle, probably. I talked about Trey Tuttle, their kicker. He's a three-time All-American kicker. You could a Power 5 team could take that kicker and would in a heartbeat if he had a free transfer.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say Alabama or Georgia, who are in the 14 playoff hunt right now, let's say they need a kicker. And they call Weber State and they're like, or they get the leak out to Trey Tuttle, who's a three-time All-American, and they say, hey, come kick for a potential national championship. How does that sound, son? You know, or you
want to kick a game-winning field goal in the national championship game of the college football playoff? Come on down here.
Yeah, I talk a little bit about Jared Scheiss, and we could talk to Coach about him. He's one of the strongest guys in the country. And so it worries me. You know, when you've got guys like Josh Davis and Scheiss, and you've got Trey Tuttle, and you've got a roster of really great talent, and you're in the Big Sky. I don't like the free transfer model.
No, I don't either. I remember I was having a conversation with a coach back in 2017, and he said, this is coming. Eventually, you're going to see players that are going to get a one free transfer. And I remember we talked about it on the air, and we thought, wow, is this really going to happen? And sure enough, it looks like coming up this summer, players are going to be able to transfer at least one time without any ramifications and being immediately eligible. Jay Hill joins us on a Football Friday, as he does every Friday throughout the remainder of the fall here on the Zone Sports Network. Coach, how are you?
Good. How's it going, guys?
It's going well. I think this one free transfer thing is – we all knew it was coming, but now it's pretty much all but done. What are your thoughts on this, and how does this affect you at Weber State?
Well, we've known for at least a year or so that this was inevitable, so it was coming. So I get it. You know, in our business, I guess coaches get to go from one school to the next, and it's a hard situation, because just to say that, you know, you give them as much freedom as they want, I don't know that that's fair, but one time you made a mistake, I guess I kind of see it. But it is going to open up a can of worms that we haven't seen yet.
A lot of people say, well, it's going to balance out because you're going to have guys that aren't getting playing time at these Group of Five or Power Fives that will rotate down into the FCSs. And I don't think it does balance out, Coach, because I think it rips some of the best, most developed talent off of some of these Big Sky rosters. Do you believe it'll balance out?
Well, I don't believe it's going to affect the numbers as much as most people think. And here's why, because they had the transfer portal that came up, what, 2 years ago? And the big majority of all players that enter the transfer portal don't go up. They go down. And I think it's only like 3% that even go laterally. So right now, the chance of going up, in my opinion, is pretty slim. What's happening more than anything is players are being able to transfer one time and go down. So that would be like a Pac-12 school going to a Mountain West, or a Mountain West coming to a Big Sky. And that's already been happening, at least at the FBS level, coming down to an FCS level and being immediately eligible. Now they're just allowing it FBS to FBS.
What are the, I guess there's probably the right answer and then the answer of what actually is going to happen. But I got to imagine they're not going to allow schools to contact kids directly. A kid's got to put himself in the portal before schools can contact him. That's still the rule in place, correct?
So tampering is going to be one of the biggest.
Yeah.
I mean, that you want to get in trouble, tamper with someone else's player without them being in the portal, that's going to be a big deal. And those are going to be level one, at least level two violations, like head coach suspended, if not fired. And then you have to have show cause from the NCAA just to even get rehired. So they're going to handle tampering, you know, severely, which they should. And, you know, if a kid wants to transfer and puts himself in the portal and handles it the right way and does it one time, then I get it. I just hope it doesn't go beyond that.
Do you have to work with your assistants, your staff, to prepare them to potentially re-recruit an athlete? How do you prepare your staff to deal with this, Coach?
Well, you better love your players, and they better trust you, and they better know that the coaching that they're getting from your staff is as good as that they can get anywhere, and that we can develop players just as good as anybody else. And I truly believe that. That's going to be a critical part. And if you're a staff and you're not winning games and you're not doing a good job developing players and getting them to move on to the next level, then you're probably going to have a hard time keeping your top kids. But if you're doing everything right, winning games, developing them the right way, and letting them know you care about them, I don't think you're going to lose the majority of them.
I remember Matt Wells mentioned this to me once. I think Gary mentioned this to me as well in his philosophy of, after signing day, trying to leave one or two scholarships open just in case something happens during the summer and somebody becomes available. Do you do that currently now, and will you maybe expand that a little bit with the knowledge that there might be more players that may be available come in the summer?
We do that, but not more than one or two guys, just because I don't want a team full of transfers. I want guys that I've had in my program for 3 or 4 years, know the expectations, know the program. I don't want to be built just with a bunch of transfers. And I would believe that the big majority of the good schools out there that win a lot of games are the same way.
That's actually a good point, Coach. And maybe somewhat of a deterrent, where coaches are thinking to themselves, we gave this kid a chance. We've developed this kid. Now he's got an opportunity to take the starting job. But we're talking about, you know, getting in contact with somebody that knows this Weber State player to bring him here. No, we're going to take our developmental staff and believe in him. I could see how that could be a deterrent.
Yeah, it will be. I mean, just look at it this way. If you're Alabama or Clemson, do you think you got to go recruit everybody else's roster? I mean, they're already getting the top kids in the country. And that might be different for like a quarterback, like a Jalen Fields that transfers because he wasn't getting the playing time early that he wanted. Quarterback's a little bit different. But for most of the other players, I just don't see it being a huge factor, and the transfer portal has really shown that.
Well, and then there's also the case where, and you've had a couple of high-profile guys that have played quarterback in the Big Sky Conference that ended up going into, you know, playing their final years at the Power 5 level. And, I mean, we don't need to get into specifics, but the grass isn't always greener.
It's not. We've had two since I've been in the Big Sky that were just tearing it up at the FCS
yep.
level, absolutely tearing it up. And they went to so-called bigger schools, and quite frankly, they played two or three games and kind of fizzled out.
Yep.
And we've just had a couple more in the Big Sky do the same thing this year, and I'm excited to see what happens to them. But the ones in the past have not – it's not turned out good for them.
Why do you think that is, Coach?
Well, I think fit is so important, and I think, you know, getting used to a program is important. And if you just throw yourself in there as a stranger with 1 year left to play, God, that's a hard thing. You're trying to get to know your teammates. They don't fully trust you yet. You don't trust them yet. And this game is more than just raw talent. It's mental toughness. It's how you've been developed. There's so much more to it than just raw talent.
How much does that, and again, just going big picture, you don't have to go specifically, you mentioned about not wanting to bring in a lot of transfers, and I got to imagine it's got to be interesting to your locker room. I mean, obviously, if the guy is elite level and it's a no-brainer, that's one thing, but just because he came from a bigger school doesn't necessarily mean he's better, and the guys on the roster that have been there 3 or 4 years probably can sniff that out pretty quick, and if you keep going to that transfer well and giving these guys opportunities over guys that have been there 3 or 4 years, that probably creates a bit of a problem in your locker room.
It does. It creates a huge issue in our locker room, the one taking all the transfers, because then your players start thinking, well, Coach, you don't believe in us. We got to go
yeah.
get all these other guys because you don't believe in us. And then all of a sudden their confidence is shot. I'll give you a good example. Like I refuse to use names, but we took a transfer just in the last year or two, and he was an upper level Pac-12 guy, like big time guy, coming out of high school, was 4 or 5 star guy, wasn't getting the playing time that he wanted. We take him, he comes here and he's a backup, and he's having a heck of a time beating out the starter. And sure enough, he transfers from Weber State. And this guy 3 years ago was a 5-star guy. And now he's transferred from Weber State because he's not playing here. And it's just the grass is not always greener. You guys mentioned that earlier. And there's great players. No matter where you go across the country, there's going to be great players you're going to have to beat out.
I was thinking about this. If I was a head coach at whatever level, FCS, FBS, or Power 5, or Group 5, anywhere, and – if I'm recruiting a kid, I understand that this transfer thing, you mentioned the argument, it really came from, well, coaches can leave at any time, so players should be able to leave at any time. If I was a head coach and I'm recruiting a kid, and I sit down and I'm talking to this kid and I say, hey, son, if I can commit to you for 5 years, that, you know, I will be at this university for the 5 years, I want you to commit to me that you're going to stay at our university for 5 years. Would there ever be any type of back and forth between coach and high-level recruit like that?
I think as an unwritten conversation, yes. I don't believe they'll ever allow that on paper. One thing, and I mentioned this I mentioned it about 10 minutes ago, but coaches can leave schools. But one thing the players got to remember, that if a coach leaves a Power 5 school, they've got a $10 million buyout. Now, a lot of times that's paid by the other school, but that's not guaranteed. And that's the difference, is coaches have buyouts, and players now don't have a buyout.
Yeah, I mean, that's we don't mention that nearly enough in the grand scheme of things. When you overall, though, in your preparation for the spring and everything else, I guess every week we kind of ask you for a status update on how guys are doing. So I guess we'll do the same again. Like, how has the last week been for your guys in preparation for that spring schedule?
Not good. Our last week was not good. We ended up getting shut down with a couple more positives of COVID, and it's going through college football, and it looks like, you know, I think 37 states were up in their total numbers this last week, and it's still going across the country, so it's affecting people, and how we're handling it, I don't necessarily always agree with, but it's affecting us for sure, and this week was not as productive as we needed to be. The good thing is the NCAA gave us freedom that if we do have to shut down for a couple of days, they allow us to make it up on the back end.
That's good.
Hmm. So you don't miss those practices. How did the
– No.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you don't miss those practices. The starting and stopping is not ideal, but we don't miss the practices, and in a way we get to prolong it. So,
how do the players handle it? Are they pretty flexible, or are they keeping their spirits high?
No, this is hard on them. The starting and stopping and not knowing, we still don't have a schedule just yet, and the unknown for anybody is hard. But let alone a football player that you're wondering, am I really training for a reason? What is all this all about? That's hard on these kids right now.
How much will that help when they do release a schedule and at least you have a hopeful start date? You're like, okay, this is the date, and we can set our countdown clocks to this date. And will that help to a certain extent?
It does. That will help. And then the players and the coaches that are going right now, you know, the ACC, the SEC, those who are going right now, it does. That helps as well. The starting and stopping is just a pain. And for us, we got to be smart because we're not playing games yet. So to take the added risk that some of these other teams that are playing games right now would be reckless.
And Coach, the one thing that I was thinking about as a player that would be difficult, if I'm a senior and I've got a red shirt or a freshman that gets COVID and I find out, I'm going to be really irritated as a senior. I get shut down because you three idiots couldn't keep yourself clean. Or, you know, if I'm a sophomore or a junior and I get wind that a couple of my buddies went out and I am irritated, is it causing division with teammates that are testing positive? Do they know who tested positive? Are they contacting each other and saying, dude, what did you do? Where did you go? Is that causing a problem?
I don't think so. Just because, I mean, if everybody knows you got a couple knuckleheads out doing stupid things, then those guys get alienated by the other players. It just happens naturally. But for the most part right now, I mean, we still can't trace back where 90% of our guys that get it, where they're getting it from. And it's happening all across the state to people saying, hey, man, I quarantined, I did everything right, and I still got it. I just don't think, unless you're willing to just lock yourself in your house for the next year, I just don't think that you're void from the ability to get it. Everyone's going to get this thing at some point, I believe.
90% in an approximate, you aren't able to trace?
Yeah, no, I'm just telling you, most of the guys that get it, we don't have any idea where they for sure got it from. Sometimes you get an apartment where a player gets it and then his roommate gets it, then it's pretty obvious. But most of the time, that's not how it's been occurring. It's just random pop-up, now they're positive. We've had, I'll bet, half of our last couple, or that probably didn't sound right, but half of the last, you know, five or six of them at least, have no symptoms, no signs, no nothing. We're getting them through just our random tests.
Wow.
No symptoms, no nothing. We're just catching them. They would have never known.
Yeah, that's got to be the frustrating part when a kid who's out there lifting weights and going through conditioning and feels perfectly fine and goes through the random testing and all of a sudden they're like, sorry, you're positive. He's like, I don't know, I feel fine. That's got to be tough on a kid who, you know, already feels like he's invincible and feels fine and yet can't work out because he got a test that came back positive.
Exactly right. Positive, and they don't know where they got it, and they don't know anything other than they're shut down.
You know, Coach, I typically I sit down somewhere around 6:30, 7 o'clock to start preparing for the show, and I get some of the early sports stories that come across the board. And this morning at about 7:15, the sports story comes across the board that the Indianapolis Colts have shut down their facilities. They had four positive tests. Their game is in doubt on Sunday. So I put it on our document for all our show prep, and I was telling the story at 10:50 as our what you may have missed news. And Scotty had just gotten an update that those were correct me if I'm wrong here, that those were four
false negatives. False positives.
False positives, yep. And that they retested them, and that those were false positives, and now everything's back on, and the Colts are free and clear. The false positives are a concern. The up and down is one thing, but the false positives are driving me nuts.
See, now that's a huge concern, because at least a month ago or so, there was 70 – I mean, the tests were about 70% accurate, and you were getting like 30% false negatives. Something like that. But they were saying at the time there was very, very few false positives. So if we start throwing that in the mix, now we got a bunch of false positives. You got guys with symptoms, with no symptoms testing positive, and now you got guys with symptoms testing negative. I mean, it's a huge debacle on what do you believe and what's this thing really all about. That's the hard part with this.
Coach, I love the fact you're being, you know, brutally honest on on this whole thing. Just, I mean, great real talk on all of this. But from your perspective, like, you got in this business to help kids get degrees and help them grow into quality men and human beings and fathers and husbands and coaches them football and win some games along the way. How hard is it for you and your staff to stay positive through this? Because this isn't something that you ever imagine. There's no coaching clinic on how to coach a team through a pandemic. Like, how are you guys holding up through this?
We're all right. I mean, I want to be coaching football. I don't want to be sitting home golfing right now. And that's the reality. Some people think, oh, sweet, I get another couple days to go fishing or golfing. That's not how we're built. We want to coach football, and we want to spend time with our families. But in the fall, we understand that that's what we do. We coach football. And so when you don't get to do what you want to do, that's the hard part.
Jay Hill joining us. Segment number two with Coach Hill, the head coach at Weber State, coming up next right here on the Zone Sports Network. We are live here at Stonehaven Dental in Provo, 1355 North University Avenue, Suite 330. Stonehaven Dental is offering a great opportunity. Pick up a free exam and x-ray at any Stonehaven Dental office. And if you schedule your appointment before December 1st, they'll also hook you up some free fluoride. Go to stonehavendental.com for more information.
So you think about that. If you've got a family of, you know, six kids and you got the husband and wife, you got eight of you that are out there, you can come in. You each get that free exam, the free x-ray to figure out where you're at on a dental standing. That's one thing I love about Stonehaven. Scotty, that would cost a family $800-$900, a family of six or seven. You're trying to bring them in and get the x-rays and figure out. It's free. They just want to show you what they can do for you in the world of dentistry. And I totally back them. Been with them for 2 years and have built a great relationship with my dentist in Saratoga Springs. And when I go in, it's like Norm from Cheers. Hey, how you doing? How's everything going? You know, he knows the backstory on everything that's gone on with my teeth, and it's just the best. I hope that people understand that Stonehaven Dental is kind of like, you know, joining a member of the family in the dental world.
Go to stonehavendental.com. Was that a shot at me?
No.
Okay.
Just saying that would be nice.
It is nice. I'm not going to lie. Go to stonehavendental.com for more information. That's stonehavendental.com. More with Jay Hill coming up next right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Nothing else matters, fellas. Every day we go to work.
Football is back, and the Zone Sports Network has you covered as the Cougars continue to bulldoze through their schedule and the Utes and Aggies get set for the start of their seasons.
You gotta go faster, faster.
Nobody will bring you better coverage of your team than the Zone Sports Network. This is your home of the best college football coverage in Utah.
Turn me up all day.
97.5, 1280 The Zone in the Zone Sports Network.
talking and talking and talking.
Two guys that talk sports, food, and, well, just about everything else.
Talk, talk, talk.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by WCF Insurance, reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
.975 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Jay Hill joins us as we continue on a Football Friday right here on The Zone. Jay, it was interesting. Story came out last night, and you probably caught wind of this before then, but Sacramento State there in the Big Sky has opted out of the 2021 spring football season. Did that take you by surprise, or did you anticipate maybe some of these California schools that are dealing with a lot of restrictions might have to go that route?
Well, Sac State surprised me. We were planning on at least a team or two not opting in to play in the spring, but I was not anticipating Sac State.
What kind of processes go into making that decision? Like, where did that come from? Are they afraid they're going to lose money? Are they afraid their government won't allow it? How do they come to that understanding?
I think it's a lot of things. I think it's financial. I think it's mostly risk of COVID in that specific region of the country. I think it's, do they really believe that they can be prepared based on the fact that they haven't done much yet in the last 6 months? Their quarterback just transferred. I mean, all that goes into play.
Has Weber State had any doubts? Have they had any conversations of that being a possibility?
So not that I know of. Between myself, the AD, and the president, we are fighting like crazy to play.
Jay Hill, head coach of Weber State, kind enough to join us right here on the Zone Sports Network. Hey, let's talk some actual football. BYU in Houston coming up tonight. I'm sure you've kept some tabs on Kalani Sitake's team. Is this going to be a good barometer to see really where BYU is at right now?
Well, I think they've already had it. The San Antonio team was a good team. I think Houston should be a little better, assuming that they've had enough opportunities to practice and they had the one game. But talent-wise, this will be the most talented team they've played so far.
So when you have and it was announced that Kyrus Tonga did not make the trip, and Kyrus Tonga, obviously the heart and soul of the interior of that defense. When you have one of your big guns, your veteran guys, that can't make the trip for one reason or the other, and he's kind of the heart and soul, he's the power in the middle when you run that three and drop eight, which they've done a lot of, how do you adjust to that, Coach? What kinds of measures do you take?
Well, it's hard to replace a difference maker like Kyrus. I mean, he's such a good player. But the other guys just step up. I mean, you remember what it was like when you were in college, and if all of a sudden Rob Morris went down or one of those big-time guys goes down, the other guys got to step up and play great. And in reality, you might play better. It's weird how that happens when you lose your top guy and everything gets better sometimes.
So there wouldn't be – you wouldn't start thinking, oh, my gosh, we got to make some technical, some schematic adjustments because we've got to compensate. It's just, hey, we're going to put you on the center. You've got to get the same press. Hawes is probably their go-to backup, if not taking Batty and putting El Bakri in. But there's some adjustments there, but there is nothing like that press from Tonga in the three-man rush. You wouldn't change anything schematically, huh?
Well, not – we're always changing things schematically from one team to the next, from one game plan to the next. But you don't want a wholesale change, like say, okay, this week we're going to play five D linemen. I mean, you don't want a wholesale change. The other guy's got to step up.
Yeah, no doubt. Jay Hilt joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone, the head coach up at Weber State. Weber State awaiting a schedule and anticipating when they're going to begin. Are you in the conversations on those on the schedule, or is that that strictly at the AD and the conference office?
No, scheduling will be done at the conference office. This has been a fun year because right now I'm the coaches rep for all the head coaches for the Big Sky Conference. So I actually sit on some of these committees where, you know, they're talking about, do you play six conference games? Do you play eight conference games? Do you play seven plus one? So I've got to sit on some of those and then try to get some feedback from the other head coaches amongst in the Big Sky. But most of the time, no, those decisions are made at the conference level, the scheduling.
Do I understand this right? The FCS playoffs have been expanded?
No, actually they've been, well, I don't know if you say expanded. There's been one team that usually opts out of the playoffs, that one conference that usually opts out, that's actually going to participate this year. So that would expand it. But we're actually going from a 2014 playoff to a 16-team playoff. So in a way it's being reduced, but in a way it's being expanded because of that extra conference that's joining the automatic bids.
And then there's not essentially, and correct me if I'm wrong, they're all at large, right? There's no automatic bids?
No, there's 11. So there's 11 automatic qualifiers from the conferences. And then there's only five at-large bids, and they're going to seed the top four.
Okay.
That's it. So you're only seeding the top four, and 16 teams get in, 11 automatic bids, five at-larges.
Jay Hill joining us here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. If you were to seed yourself in a pickleball tournament against Hans Olsen, you giving yourself a one seed?
We're going back to pickleball today.
You know, I'm just trying to lighten the mood a little bit, you know.
How many people are in this? Just Hans and I, that's it?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe we open this thing up a little bit. Maybe you bring your whole staff, and we'll just seed everybody from one. We'll go 1 to 16, and we'll make a tournament out of this thing.
We need to do something like that. This would have been the week to do it.
Got a little extra time.
So next time we get shut down, I'm calling you guys. We'll do on location. But
that's actually a good idea.
We do it for real. Yeah, as soon as we do it for real, Hans is going to say it's too cold.
You know that's not going to happen. I'm going to say I'm not ready. I'm actually starting the process of building a pickleball in my backyard. I'm going to practice and prepare. I will be ready when we do finally meet up on the pickleball
court. So what this means is he's pushing this back to like April or May of next year.
Or 2022.
There you go, yeah.
Hey man, I'm just taking a page out of what everybody else is doing in the sports world. I'm out of an abundance of caution. I am taking my time.
Can you say that politically correct? Call people out like that?
I think I can.
We get a little loose on this show. Who knows? We'll find out the hard way.
We'll see if I get a meeting over it.
Well, we got one more segment.
You know, I hope all this, everybody's ethical. I just hope through all this, everybody's ethical. You know what I mean? Like, because you could get up against a team like, oh, crap, I don't know if I beat those guys. So now we got five positives and we got to cancel or reschedule or whatever. You just hope and pray that everyone's ethical and saying we're going to do it the right way.
That makes sense.
We'll catch up more with Jay Hill. Final segment coming up next. We're live here at Stonehaven Dental. Get some thoughts from him on maybe previewing some games coming up this weekend. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK. Matt Thomas, he's the pregame host for Houston Football Broadcast.
Where do you think BYU's offense can have the best success against this Houston defense?
Get rid of the football quickly. Three steps and go. Frankly, Dana's more worried about your running game than anything else. And you guys got to realize this. We're not really used to having great defenses at the University of Houston. If you go back three, four decades, I would fully expect everybody from a skill position to have some success on both sides. I think it comes down to turnovers. I think it comes down to who's on the field the longest. You know, again, I think short, quick step drops, get rid of the football quickly, stay on the field, and I envision this to be a very high-scoring game.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by WCF Insurance, reminding you to be careful out there on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. As we continue on the hour, Football Fridays with Jay Hill, head coach at Weber State. Jay, there's a bunch of injuries on the NFL side. And, you know, Dak Prescott's the latest. And I don't think this is necessarily related, but there have been some soft tissue injuries and things like that that seem to be more than usual. Do you anticipate that some of that is due to the fact that there hasn't been a lot of OTAs and mini camps and kind of a shortened fall camp? Can that create problems on the injury side?
Absolutely. I think if there's an increase in injuries, it's mainly due to training.
So how much of that do some of, you know, how much of that do some of these college coaches, and how much do that potentially concerns you as the things start up? I mean, you keep that in mind, obviously.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, we had a shutdown this week, so we start practice again on Monday. I'm not going to just go full go, break out the pads, and get after it. I can't. That'd be dumb injury-wise. So we're going to go helmets only, use one of our helmet-only practices, and then slowly work into being able to scrimmage by the weekend. But you got to be training, and you got to have your guys ready from the weight room and then from a practice standpoint too. If you don't, you're going to have injuries.
Because I was thinking about, like, Houston had lost a bunch of games, or Baylor has lost a bunch of games, or there's teams that have lost games. Houston came in and played their first game last week after losing, what was it, four games, Scotty? Or,
yeah.
Or five games they had lost. Not actually losing, but having cancellations. Yeah. So what happens when a team has a three-week cancellation, and so they played, then they go 3 weeks, and then they're back on the field? How does that affect the team?
That's more psychological, I believe, because in those 3 weeks, unless you've been completely shut down, but in those 3 weeks, you should be lifting, you should be practicing, doing as much as you can. So I think that's more psychological. Unless you're completely shut down, then you worry about injuries.
Jay Hill, head coach at Weber State, joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. I know you don't have a ton of time to analyze games and look at other teams, but what are your thoughts on BYU and Houston tonight? Do you think BYU gets out of there with a W?
I do. I just think they're physical enough. I love Zach Wilson. I mean, that guy's a player. And then, you know, I can't root against my boy Kalani. And I got so many. I've got three coaches that coach for me at Weber State on that staff. And
yeah.
Then Aaron Roderick and I coached together for 9 years at Utah and have been close friends for a long time. I just got too many guys that I love and care about on that staff to ever root against them.
Jay, one thing they've got on the offensive side of the ball, they've got a lot of different coordinating minds where, well, you look at Coach Clark at the tight ends and you go through Grimes and Roderick and Satake and I think I'm missing one other with coordinating experience. But you've got a lot of assistant coaches with coordinating experience. is that something you would worry about, or is that something you'd find extremely beneficial?
No, not with the ones they have, because they're all humble enough to pull together. You're not going to have huge egos in those guys, but they're all intelligent, and they all bring something different to the table. Like I say, Steve Clark and Fessy Satake, they both coordinated here at Weber State, and those guys were phenomenal for us, but they're a little different, each of them. And I just think that the mix of those guys in that offensive staff room now, you're seeing the fruits of those guys, because they're really smart and they're good to get along with each other.
How hard is that when you're out interviewing for a coach? How hard is that to identify how good of a fit he'll be in that coaching room with the rest of your guys?
Really hard. Really hard. And you have to rely on the interview. You have to rely mostly on the people that know. And you have to rely on guys that have been around them, that hopefully you know that guy that's giving you the recommendation for him.
Yeah, but even then, Coach, you know, shortly after you left a program that you were coaching at, a coach was brought into that program that was familiar with another coach, and it just didn't fit, and it didn't work, and it got pretty bumpy pretty quickly. It's almost strange, because even sometimes guys you know you bring into a certain group of assistants, and it seems to fall apart sometimes.
Well, that continuity is critical, and just being able to have a staff that gets along well and works together well and has the same goals and the same mindset, I think that's rare, way more rare than you think it is, because you just got so many egos out there and guys trying to climb ladders, and a lot of times it becomes about them and not about the success or about the players, and that's where it gets hard. When it becomes not about the players and it becomes all about that assistant coach, then you got an issue.
Well, Coach, we appreciate your time as always. Great conversation, and look forward to doing it again next week.
It's a quick hour, Coach.
Yep. Yep, you guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Jay Hill, head coach at Weber State, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. This is
– you know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, absolutely.
It was a bad deal.
Well, you know, and well, I remember, and I don't know if it was before or after you came onto the station, but I remember having a conversation on the old Football Fridays with Lavelle and Mac, and Lavelle said something along the lines of he had never fired an assistant coach in his whole time at BYU, never had to fire anybody. He goes, sometimes I would encourage them to find another job, and we would work out a deal with some other school.
Or they'd get a mission call.
Or they'd all of a sudden become a mission president. But he goes, I never fired. And Ron McBride started laughing. He goes, I had to fire him all the time. Because you get a guy who is out for your job, or he's out as a position coach trying to undercut the coordinator so that he can become the new coordinator, and you got to weed that out fast.
You know, it would be tough for me. You've got all of these relationships in the world, and you bring a guy onto your staff, and then you get a call from somebody that you've got a close relationship with that says, hey, guess who just called me? Who? Oh, your coordinator. Oh, what did he say? Well, he's looking for a job. What, my coordinator's looking for a job? Yeah, he just called me looking for a job. You know that happens all the time.
Yeah.
See, that's what's amazing when you got relationships that are intermingled, and we've talked about how close-knit coaches are from the bottom of the barrel to the head coaching position.
Yeah.
There's close-knit. You've bumped into each other. I could maybe with a factor of one, I could probably trace myself to every single coach in the state, whether playing for them, playing with them, playing against them, being friends, having some type of connection. You all know each other. So when something happens, when a move is made, you get the call. Hey, what do you know about this guy?
Yeah.
What do you mean, what I know about him? Well, he just called me, and he's looking to be our player personnel. He wants to be a player personnel? Yeah, it would be a pay raise. and he would join up with a staff that has more continuity. I mean, we are looking at an upgrade here. I know that there is a lot of there are a lot of problems. It's a lot. You could almost make a drama out of it.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. I mean, there's when
it could be a daytime soap.
Yeah. I mean, when you got a guy on a staff that's trying to aim for your job and is trying to undercut you, and you find out about it, then you want to make his life a little miserable.
Well, that happens. That happens. And you know what's hard is there are some guys that, you know, maybe they get let go from a coaching staff.
Yeah.
And, you know, then they start undercutting you, like bad talking you to another coach. And then that coach calls you and is like, hey, this guy's bad talking you. It's like, what? So now I got to call him.
Yep. But then I also just know that everywhere you go, and if anybody ever calls and asks about who you are as a coach and what you were like, just know I'm going to remember that.
Well, yeah, and you can build a bad reputation that way.
Yep.
And you got to be really careful because you build a bad reputation that way, and you'll get blacklisted.
Yep.
You'll get blackballed.
Yep. That's going to follow you around like, well, never mind. But, yeah, it's going to be with you. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. We'll kick off your noon hour. Coming up next, Chris Camerani is going to join us from The Athletic right here on The Zone Sports Network.
I picked up herpes from some guy in Boise.